the world population currently stands at 7.2 billion. It's expected to rise to 9.6 billion by 2050, or will it? A slew of recent reports paint a kind of confusing picture of population trends.
While there are predictions of a huge population growth in parts of Africa and elsewhere, a Moody's report suggests the global population is aging due to a decline in birth rates, leading some to conclude that population growth may stagnate or even drop in the coming decades.
Robert Walker is with us now. He's president of the Population Institute. Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, first, in broad strokes, I think a lot of us have the sense that population is going up, keeps going up out into the future. We're seeing a few reports saying, hold on, birth rates, fertility rates are going down in a lot of developed countries. Developing countries are going to see the same trends. We're going to see the increase leveling off, maybe even going down. Where do you see this all coming together?
Well, fertility rates are certainly declining. They've been declining now for the past century. But we're still adding a billion people to the planet every 12 or 13 years. World population reached the 6 billion mark in October of 1999. We reached the 7 billion mark in October of 2011. And we anticipate that in about 10 more years, we'll be reaching the 8 billion mark. So world population today is still growing briskly. And according to the latest UN projections, what's called the medium variant, we anticipate that world population will likely reach about 9.6 billion, as you indicated earlier, by mid-century, and that we'll continue to grow and reach around 11 billion by the end of the century.
And there's a range of reactions to that kind of number. On one extreme, there's kind of the Thomas Malthus, where we'll have too many people, we're not going to be able to feed them, environmental devastation, all the way to, that's okay, the population's been growing, we've found ways, technology's improved, we can keep up with it, and we need it for a growing economy. What do you see as the impact of 9.6 billion people by 2050?
Well, let's be clear. The Earth can contain a lot of people, but it's never been a question about how many people the Earth can contain. It's always been about how many people the Earth can sustain, at what standard of living, and for how long. As you indicated earlier, currently the population is 7.2 billion. And even at today's population, there is plenty of evidence that we are over-consuming the world's resources and overusing the planet's biological capacity. Focus for just a moment on the fact that forests around the world are continuing to shrink. Tropical forests in particular are at risk. We see lakes and rivers in many parts of the world are shrinking. Even our own country, the mighty Colorado River, is a mere dribble by the time it gets to the ocean. We're seeing around the world in many areas that water tables are falling, and wells as a consequence are going dry. We see that in this country, in the Texas Panhandle, and the Central Valley today with the drought there. Keep in mind that we are changing the composition of the atmosphere. We're altering our climate and changing the chemistry of the oceans. And meanwhile, scientists warn that plant and animal species are going extinct at a rate that is about 1,000 times higher than the natural rate of extinction. Scientists are calling it the sixth mass extinction. So there's plenty of evidence to suggest that the world, in many ways, is already overpopulated, that we're already overusing the world's resources. So I think there's plenty of reason to be concerned.
Is this a question of too high a number, too many people, or is it a question of a certain part of that world population just consuming too much?
Well, there's no question that consumption is the other half of the equation. But no one is anticipating that per capita consumption in the world is going to start to decline anytime soon. We have a very large emerging middle class in the world today that's going to demand and has every right to demand its fair share of the world's resources. And as that happened, we're seeing an ever-growing claim on the world's resources. Unfortunately, the world resources are very limited. So we're quickly coming to a day of reckoning. We're going to see that day of reckoning in the area, certainly of water scarcity, but also in the area of food production. Right now, the latest estimates are that over the next 35 years, we're going to need to increase world food production somewhere between about 70 and 100%. And the question, and there's good questions to ask, is can we actually do that in the face of climate change, which includes both drought and flooding, but also rising temperatures and rising seas. But we also have a growing shortage of arable land in the world. And we know that the price of fertilizer, because of the increasing cost of fossil fuels, has gone up dramatically in the past decade. There's plenty of reasons to believe that agricultural production is going to be in real trouble in the next 35 years, even while the demand for food is growing at somewhere between 70 and 100%.
We've been talking globally so far. Let's key in on a couple of areas. The charts I've been looking at show massive growth in the years to come in Africa, sub-Saharan, the southern part of the continent in particular. What are we seeing there?
Well, we are seeing dramatic growth. With respect to Africa, currently its population is 1.1 billion, and we're expecting it to grow in the next 35 years to 2.4 billion. That's more than doubling its population. And population growth in sub-Saharan Africa is also very, very significant. Currently, it's 920 million people, and it's anticipated it will grow to 2.1 billion by 2050. And the reason why this is a concern is because when we talk about countries in sub-Saharan Africa, we're already talking about countries that are ranked very high in terms of severe poverty, very high in terms of hunger and food insecurity. And these are countries that in some cases, like Uganda, South Sudan, and Niger, where the population could triple within the next 40 years. And there's ample reason to believe that those countries simply are not capable of sustaining that kind of population increase. These are countries that are already devastated in many cases by famine and by hunger. And I don't think anyone realistically knows whether there's any chance at all that they can handle that type of projected population growth.
What would it take to not have that level of population growth?
Well, the good news, I think, is that as much as we know that world population is on a course to steadily increase over the remainder of this century, even small changes in fertility, birth rates, can have very substantial impacts on projected population growth. Now, in the cases of countries like Uganda, Niger, and South Sudan, we would have to see family size go down from a rate of 5 or 6 children to a rate of 2 or 3 children to really stabilize their populations in the long run. But we can do that. But the challenge here is different than the challenge that we faced half a century ago. Half a century ago, when we saw fertility rates dropping rapidly in many parts of the world, it was the fact that contraception was becoming widely available. Modern methods of contraception were dramatically reducing birth rates. What we see in sub-Saharan Africa and in parts of South Asia is a different situation today, because despite the increasing availability of contraception, fertility rates are not dropping very fast. Part of that is due to the fact that in many of these countries, child marriage is prevalent. And when a girl gets married at the age of 12 or 13 in a society that's heavily male-dominated, she's not going to have much decision over how many children she's going to have. And if she starts having children at the age of 12 or 13, she's likely to have 5 or 6 children over the course of her lifespan. So fertility rates are not falling as fast as we might have otherwise anticipated in sub-Saharan Africa and in other parts of the world, particularly in some parts of South Asia.
We're talking to Robert Walker with the Population Institute, looking at global population trends, what they mean for the quality of life in the future.
And we'd like to hear from you. Can you envision what life will be like with 2 billion more people living on the planet?
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Veronica Rickard. We're talking about population growth and how it will affect life on Earth in the near future. And we'd like to hear from you. With 7 billion people on the planet now, what will it look like when we share it with 9 billion? What aspect of overpopulation worries you the most? Let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR.
Robert Walker stays with us. He's president of the Population Institute. He directs the Institute's work on issues related to health, economic development, sustainability, and the environment. Well, Robert, before the news, we talked about Africa, a big surge in population predicted there. Other countries are seeing declining birth rates. Places like Germany, Russia, Japan, Singapore, not hitting that replacement rate, that magic number to keep the population up. Some countries even offering incentives for their citizens to have kids. What do you make of that trend?
Well, there are countries in the world that you talked about that have reached the replacement rate and now face the prospect of declining populations. But essentially, that's a good thing. And the reason why I say it's a good thing is that the countries we're talking about consume a disproportionately high percentage of the world's resources. Let's take the United States, for example. We have less than 5% of the world's population, but we consume over 20% of the world's resources. So preventing unplanned pregnancies here in the United States and overseas in Western Europe and Japan and other countries that consume a disproportionate share of the world's resources, that's a good thing, because when you have a planet that is being stretched to its capacity, as it currently is, we have to be very mindful of the rate at which we are consuming resources. So with respect to policies that seek to increase population in these countries where population is stabilized, I think that's a bad thing. And it's a bad thing from a global perspective of resource scarcity.
We'll go to our callers now. We've got Victor on the line in West Dallas. Victor, hi.
Hi. Hey, two things I'd like to mention to you. One, when you have the, you would say, struggling countries, as you mentioned, a lot of them, like, are going to Italy, they're coming to the United States, they're going to different parts of Europe. And number two is, I believe that the planet cannot support too many more people because we won't be able to create a lot of jobs. And if you always hear on the radio that people are migrating to other countries because they're looking for a better life and looking for better monetary support.
Victor, thanks for the call. That point on migration first, Robert, is that one of the many consequences of the population growth in areas like Africa?
Certainly. As we see severe poverty still with a very significant grip on much of sub-Saharan Africa, and as resource shortages intensify, particularly as we see the climatic changes that are happening in Africa, we're going to see more and more people migrating to the north, and they will be in search of jobs. Right now, the world does not have a shortage of workers. It does have a shortage of jobs, and it's not just in the United States or in Western Europe. It's a global phenomenon, and I think we have to be very mindful of the fact that this is going to have very severe implications for the world.
Well, looking at the history, as I understand it, generally living standards go up and fertility rates go down. Is that the case? And if so, how do you take a place with massive poverty and raise the living standards such that you hit that magic tipping point, whatever that is?
Well, I think you may have it backwards. What we've seen in many parts of the world today is when fertility rates have declined, economic well-being goes up. Economists and demographers have a word for it. They call it the demographic dividend, which suggests that as people begin to have smaller families, oftentimes because they now have access to modern methods of contraception, but as they have smaller families, they're better able to educate their children. They're better able to provide nutrition for those children that they have. They also have more resources to invest in boosting the family's income. And we've seen this happen all around the world. Back in the 1970s and the 1980s, we talked about the Asian tigers and what was happening in those Asian tigers of South Korea and Taiwan and Japan and the other countries in East Asia was that with their declining birth rates, they did have a demographic dividend, and they, as a result, had very substantial economic growth during that period. So really reducing fertility rates in sub-Saharan Africa and in parts of South Asia today is really crucial to boosting economic well-being in that section of the world.
Back to our callers now with Bob in Green Bay. Bob, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you, gentlemen?
Good. What do you think, Bob?
I think this is a really cool topic, and this may be a little bit off subject, but it still has to go with population. And everybody talks about global warming, and we are, as human beings, we are organic things that live on this earth. And when things get overpopulated, nature has a way of taking care of itself.
Gotcha, Bob. So eventually nature is going to step in and intervene. It sounds like Bob is okay with that. Robert, I'm guessing you want humans to get in there before Mother Nature does.
That's right. We are facing, in many parts of the world today, a potential day of reckoning. And we can postpone or even prevent that day of reckoning if we do a couple different things. One is obviously to continue to expand the availability of modern methods of contraception. That's critically important. But in many of these countries today, we really need to educate girls, keep them in school, and empower women so that they have the ability to decide when they will have children and how many children they will have. And if we do that, we can live in better balance with nature. Going back to Bob's point, you know, there are many people who sort of like to paint this picture of human beings as being separate and distinct from nature, and that it's always a battle between man and the environment. Well, we are part of the environment. And when we do harm to the world's environment, when we change its climate, for example, we are ultimately doing harm to the human prospect. So it's really crucial that we get ahead of this problem.
From the policy level, are there things you'd like to see in United States foreign policy on population issues that you think would point the world in the right direction?
Well, yeah, I think there are two major things. One is, while we've seen in the Obama administration a significant increase in the level of support for international family planning assistance, we're still well below the levels of where we were 20 years ago, meaning that we should be doing more to help spread the availability of contraception in the developing world where it's really needed. But secondly, the United States needs to take a leading role in the fight for gender equality, particularly with respect to child marriage. Child marriage has been declared by the United Nations to be a violation of human rights, which it most certainly is. But we need all the world leading countries like the United States to really speak out vocally against child marriage. Because not only is it a violation of human rights, but it is also one of the principal reasons that many countries are being held back economically and socially. So, yes, there's much that the United States can do.
Maybe this is a crazy question, but what would the right number be? We're up over 7 billion people now. What do you think is the ballpark for a sustainable human population on this planet?
Well, as I indicated at the beginning of the program, I think there's ample evidence to believe that we're already overpopulated in the sense that we're overconsuming the world's resources. Now, there are some things that we can hope to achieve through conservation, through elimination of waste, and other factors to help us bring us back into balance. But fundamentally, we ultimately will have to see not only a stabilization of the human population, but we're going to have to see some contraction of the human population over the next couple centuries. And that's really critically important when you're already overutilizing the world's resources, which we are today.
Robert, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me on the program.
That was Robert Walker. He's president of the Population Institute.